The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
George Monbiot, the environmental activist, joins me now. George, it's good to talk to you. How do you reflect on Earth Day in the world of drill, baby, drill?
It's pretty grim, and it looks as if Trump is going to do an extraordinarily vindictive thing to mark Earth Day, which is to strip non-profits of their tax-exempt status if they are doing work on climate or environmental issues. So it's like pure spite.
You and I have spoken several times over the last few years, and if I were to try and summarize in a very short form your broad position, it's that too many people in power pay lip service to the problems of climate change. Meanwhile, the world kind of continues to hurtle towards catastrophe. Has that situation gotten worse in the world of Trump?
Well, at least you can say Trump doesn't pay any lip service to it.
Yes, he's at least honest. We'll give him that. Is that it?
Well, in his grossly dishonest and criminal way, he is sort of honest. Yes, there's no doubt about where he's coming from. He doesn't try to disguise it. But, you know, you can compare it to the situation here in the UK where, you know, Keir Starmer, he's ripping up our environmental legislation using remarkably similar rhetoric to Trump's. And you would think they were such completely different personalities and stylistically as different as you can get. And yet this awful sort of infection of corporate power has taken over everything and everywhere.
Okay, because I was going to ask what's the motivation from Keir Starmer's point of view and whether it was economic.
It's economic power. That is the issue, and that is always the issue. That is the greatest threat to democracy and the greatest threat to the living planet. And there's always a tussle between democracy and the power of money. And if you don't actively defend democracy, the power of money wins.
Because one of the questions that people would have put to policymakers, and I certainly put to policymakers over the last few years on this issue, was whether commitments, be they political commitments or corporate commitments to the so-called green agenda, were dependent on economic largesse. And when the economic tide goes out, or there's a threat of the tide going out, how quickly would they be abandoned? And I wonder, are we seeing evidence that actually the truth is they'll be abandoned pretty quickly?
I don't think it's got much to do with that, to be honest, because there are some much poorer countries than ours which have done a great deal more for the living world. I mean, Costa Rica's a classic example, you know, by far and away the world leader in environmental measures on a fraction of our budget. It's about political will, and that political will is primarily about standing up to powerful vested interests, the fossil fuel companies, the developers, the aviation sector, the motor industry, the chemicals sector, all of these damaging industries. Unless you stand up for them and keep them in their box and subject them to democracy, in other words, make sure they pay their taxes, make sure they abide by the rules, they will take over and they will crash everything.
So what is the argument that you find yourself butting up against most commonly today, where maybe a few years ago it was, you know, outright climate denial, and then there was maybe a period of scepticism and questioning the science. What is it today?
Well, so there's a whole, is a hybrid situation. So there are still some people actively and straightforwardly denying climate and environmental crisis. There are other people saying it's too expensive to do anything about it. And ironically, there are some people saying it's too late to do anything about it, who are the people who are for years saying it's too early to do anything about it. They'll basically come up with any excuse. And you've got to realize these are very ruthless people. They've got a lot of money behind them, these big corporations. They fund the think tanks, they fund the focus groups, they see what plays with the public, they see what works, what arguments work, and then they latch onto that. And then you will see, so right across the billionaire media, you will see everybody then singing from the same hymn sheet. It's remarkably coordinated. So, for example, you know, here in the UK, We have, oh, we can't afford all these environmental consultants. We can't afford all these planning applications and stuff. We just need to get development done because, look, HS2 spent £100 million on a back tunnel. Isn't that utterly ridiculous? And nobody stops to say, well, why? And the reason why is that HS2 failed to make any plans for wildlife until it was far too late and turned out to have gone straight through the middle of an ancient woodland of very high conservation status. Whereas had they brought in environmental consultants at the beginning, they would have avoided that and avoided all the time and money. So it's nothing to do with regulatory overreach. It's all to do with bad planning on the part of the corporations. And yet they go and blame that. And then the whole press, all as one body, one voice, they all pick it up and say, ah, yes, here's the problem, spending £100 million on a back tunnel. Of course, it's a ridiculous amount of money to spend, but it's not because of ecological consultants they spent it. It's because they completely failed to look to the left and right and see what they were doing.
What's interesting from a European point of view as well, or certainly what I find interesting, is that we've got these climate targets. Each member state has set climate targets that they've got to meet, and we're going to hurtle past our climate targets in this country. We're going to be one of the real laggards in the room in that front. And there are some countries in Europe, Spain are doing particularly well. Portugal is doing very well in that regard. But what already is being heralded as good news in Ireland is that Germany are going to miss their targets and France quite possibly are going to miss their targets. And already a narrative is emerging. There's no way the Germans and the French are going to stand over a system of fines that might cripple them economically. That this will mean that fines and carbon trading and carbon offsets, that all of that will be long fingered.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's nothing they can't turn to good account. You know, they say, oh, because of our failures, we'll have to carry on failing. You know, we can't afford to do anything except fail because our failures are so expensive. And yeah, it's quite amazing the perversity of these arguments. But, you know, they just carry on. They've got so much money. You know, particularly the fossil fuel companies. You know, they can spend billions and billions on lobbying, on PR, on public persuasion, and it just doesn't even touch the sides. Whereas, you know, the environmental groups trying to contest them have got hardly any money at all.
So I described you earlier, George, when I said you were coming up on the show a little bit later as Sisyphus pushing that boulder up the hill for 40 years. I mean, what would change that? What would cause you to get that boulder to the top of the hill?
Oh, gosh. Well, a whole load more people pushing it would be a help. I mean, I'm not doing it by myself. There's a big movement of amazing people who are working on this, but there's not enough of us. You know, we need 100 times more people. And something which has come out today, it's been discussed a bit in the media, is that the surveys show that 89% of people in countries like ours, or on average, are deeply concerned about climate issues. But just everybody thinks that everybody else isn't concerned, because that's the message we get from the media. No one cares. You find that actually huge numbers of people care, but we don't act because we think we're alone. We're not.
George Monbiot, environmental activist and campaigner. George, always a pleasure. Thanks a million for joining us.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.